biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us again on another Transforming Conversation. Pastor Rock, we had just concluded a recording for one of our 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit readings, and while we're in that mode, I'd like for you to expand a little bit on one of the topics that you talked about. One of the things that you've talked about was God's appointed people and how the kingdom of God is not so much a democracy, and how we in the United States, since we live in a democracy, that spills over into our spiritual life, spiritual being, in our spiritual understanding, and that really does cause some problems, I think, when it comes to spiritual matters.
Yeah, well, let me jump into that, Greg, because I think it is a point at which the American church falls into error. Before I begin, let me speak the caveat that I gave when we were doing the 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. Because when we began to talk about God established authority and leadership in the church, I made it very clear that in my 34 plus years of pastoral ministry at ACAC, I have been treated exceptionally well. I have been treated with respect. I have been treated with love. I have been supported and affirmed in my leadership calling, so I don't have any axe to grind. I don't have any wounds and hidden agendas. I'm not looking to use Scripture as a bully pulpit or a club to push some pet project through. That's not me, and none of that is my concern. So, with that caveat having been stated, here's my observations. I think democracy, while we enjoy its fruits, and while we enjoy each man, each woman having a vote, and while we enjoy picking our own leaders, and while we are glad we are not under autocratic leadership or dictators or military coups, I think democracy has a corruptive effect upon how Americans read Scripture and how Americans relate to authority within the church. In our democracy, as I said, each one has a vote. So when certain issues arise, while we do not necessarily establish law, our elected officials do that. We elect the officials and we cast our vote based on what their position is on a law that we either think should be enacted or should not be enacted. A clear case that everybody could relate to would be the matter of legal abortion. Many people choose who they will vote for based on that candidate's position on should abortion be legal or not. Now, this many years removed from Roe v. Wade, that may not be as prominent a motivator as it once was, but it is still very much a motivator when people cast their ballot. But all of that to say, in a democracy, we do have an indirect say through whom we elect as to what the laws of the land will be, what will be legal, what will be illegal. Because that's the milieu in which we live our lives as American citizens, we tend to put on democracy lenses when we step into church and when we read the Word of God. And so if an elder in the church, a pastor in the church, approaches a believer to either rebuke them for observable sin or to admonish them to a greater devotion or participation, that leader may encounter the "who are you to tell me" mentality. And that "who are you to tell me" or "who gives you the right," I've heard those words. I've heard those words when confronting a sinning man or woman within the church about, again, observable sin. Not judging their heart, but knowing they've done something that's wholly contradictory to God's word. I've had, "who are you?"
Right.
"Who are you? Are you without sin? Let him who is without sin. Who are you to tell me?" Well, that's the corrosive influence of democracy.
Right, exactly.
Because in a democracy, we have equal rights. Well, in the kingdom of God, we have equal rights, although I hate to use the word rights where Christians are concerned, because really the only thing we have a right to is judgment.
Exactly.
We have no right to grace.
Right.
We have no right to forgiveness. Hmm. But we all have equal rights, if you will, within God's kingdom. We have the right to approach the throne of grace and mercy boldly.
Right.
We have the right to call upon the Lord, though again, I don't like the word right. I prefer privilege. So maybe we should say we all have equal privileges. But we don't all have equal authority.
Right, exactly.
And we don't all have equal positions. Some people think that there's no hierarchy in the church because they find the idea of a hierarchy personally offensive, as if it means somebody is better than them or more entitled than them.
Right, exactly.
Or has been given greater privilege than them. But the reality is there is a hierarchy in the church. The ground at the throne of God is level. God is no respecter of persons. God does not see one believer as being better than another. God doesn't love one believer more than another.
That's right.
But even though we are equal in love, equal in worth, equal in standing, we are not all equally positioned within the church of God. In the church of God, there's a hierarchy.
That's right.
Because Scripture refers to leaders as being over you in the Lord. Paul said, make sure you esteem and love and respect those who are over you in the Lord. Now, those who are over us in the Lord have a God-given, Spirit-enabled responsibility to lead us. And we have a God-given, Spirit-enabled responsibility to follow their leadership, not challenge their right to lead.
Right, exactly.
God refers to, Paul referred to elders as being appointed by the Holy Spirit to oversee the flock. An overseer has authority.
Right.
An overseer has responsibility. And again, in that same book, he referred to properly esteeming those who are over you in the Lord. Elsewhere, he said, do this so that they might carry out their responsibility with joy rather than with heartache.
Right.
So, in the church of Christ, God has established, the Spirit has established a hierarchy of leadership. Elders have authority over the flock. And pastors are teaching elders, teaching, preaching elders who have authority over the flock. It doesn't mean that elders and pastor teachers are better. It doesn't mean they're more godly.
That's right.
It doesn't mean they're more sanctified. It doesn't mean they're more spirit-filled. It doesn't mean God loves them more. It doesn't mean they're more deserving.
Right.
It simply means God wants hierarchy in his church. He knows that without leadership, everything fails.
That's right.
And so he has appointed leaders. And when a believer says, nobody has a right to tell me, who gives you the right to rebuke me or to tell us what we ought to be doing? They aren't acting godly. They're acting demonically.
Wow, right.
Because they're echoing Satan, who looked at God and said, who gave you the right,
right,
to rule over me?
Right.
I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. So when people refuse God-appointed leadership, they are really rejecting the leadership of God.
That's right. That's right.
And echoing the rebellion of Satan. Hmm. And there are several things I would like to stress to people who think that way.
Thank you for joining us once again on today's Transforming Conversation. Because of the length of our conversation today, we're having to break this up into two parts. And so next week we will post part two as to the democracy in the kingdom. Now, Pastor Rock will pick up right where he left off as to why people refuse God's appointed leadership in the church and explain a little further how democracy has crept into our spiritual understanding of how the kingdom of God works. So until next week, again, thank you for joining us. My name's Greg Hughes, and we'll be back with you then.